IDS Talks is a podcast dedicated to helping corporations and law firms find new and effective ways to leverage data, giving them a decisive advantage both in and out of the courtroom.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of IDS Talks. My name is Jonathan Sachs, Chief Revenue Officer at IDS, and today I'm joined by Drew O'Shaughnessy to talk about the evolution of e-discovery. Where are we heading? Drew is a consultant on our analytics team. Welcome to the podcast, Drew.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah. So I was shocked to learn just before we went and started our recording that this is actually our first podcast together. And so that means that our listeners may not even know who Drew O'Shaughnessy is, which after this podcast, they certainly will know. But why don't we begin with a little bit about who you are and what you do here?
Thank you. I'm Drew. I'm a consultant on the analytics team. Like you mentioned, I specialize in the use of TAR, the use of all analytics and AI, and investigations and litigations. I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin, now living in Charleston, South Carolina. Recently got married, love to play golf and cheer on the Green Bay Packers.
I was good until the cheer on the Green Bay Packers part. And now we may have to end the podcast early. No, I'm fine. No, I'm a Giants fan. I'm fine with the Packer part. Drew's also super smart. My go-to guy when I have analytics questions. And for those of you who want to visit Charleston, he may or may not have studied to be an official tour guide, but not taken the test. So I'm not volunteering him for being your next version of TripAdvisor, but twist his arm. Maybe he'll give you a tip here or there.
Also a local restaurant connoisseur. So I can always give tips there too.
There you go. You can find him on the IDSinc.com website under of the About Us and our team, or you can find him on LinkedIn. But Drew, people are not listening to us to hear about your love of the Packers or where to get good food in Charleston. What they actually are here to do is to talk to us and hear from you about AI and its impact on the world of e-discovery, a topic similar to what I spoke to our colleague Drew Gabler about, but this is a bit more focused on the type of work you do and in the realm of the analytics piece. I want to give this one stat to start us off, and that is that according to market.us, the e-discovery market is projected to grow to $35 billion by 2033. That's pretty staggering from where it was when I got into the industry. Drew, you probably weren't even born yet, but back in 2005, I got involved in this space. And the world of e-discovery since then has really changed and evolved. And so, Drew, I want to start with this question. How is machine learning, AI, and automation? You can lump them together, talk about them separately, but how are those three things streamlining the e-discovery process today?
Yeah, I think your question kind of answers itself. Those three things, AI, machine learning, automation, all of them are doing just that. They're streamlining the process in every step of it. Whether we're talking about document review, it's going from linear document review, the way things have been done on paper copies and banker's boxes for decades, to leveraging AI, creating algorithms, using email threading. It is taking days and weeks off of what would normally be an arduous process. We're talking about validating what we do, doing QC. Instead of having a person review every single one, we can compare the results between what a person thinks and what the AI algorithm thinks. And if they're on the same page, we don't need to spend time and money looking at that. We're making the process faster. We're making the process more cost efficient.
So now you focus on your answer focused on the process side of things. From my perspective, what I really embrace with AI, automation, machine learning is that the old lawyer in me. So I was an attorney for 8 years, 9 years before 2005 when I got into this space. You know, I got hired by clients because they thought I was the best lawyer to make their claim or assert their defense. And with the proliferation of data, which we're going to talk about, it's going to be my second question, but with the world of data increasing all the time, if I was to try to do a linear review, I would be buried. And that's not what my clients are paying me to do. So if I can use technology, and I'm lumping all of the three things we've talked about into technology, if I can use something to get me to the point where I can do the lawyering job I was hired to do, why the client wanted me to be their lawyer, the better.
Right.
And I think that if there are lawyers out there who say, I don't want to embrace this because I'm going to lose billable hours on doc review, short-sighted view, because Drew, would you agree that there are probably other law firms and other lawyers saying we can use technology to be more effective and efficient and save you money?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that we're finding this growing comfort in using technology, like you said, to save time, to save money, but also to let people get back to what they're trained to do, to let lawyers lawyer, to let us, e-discovery professionals, do e-discovery. It enables all of us to do the things that we're good at.
Yeah. To let lawyers lawyer. I'm going to have to, you know, bring you into the marketing team here at IDS, Drew. I like that one. We're going to have to.
T-shirt.
There you go. T-shirts, bumper stickers. Get them now. All right. Next question I have for you, which ties into the comment I made about the growing world of data, right? How are the growing volumes of data and the complexity of digital information impacting e-discovery practices?
Yeah, I think we're seeing this interesting dichotomy in law right now where data is growing exponentially. And at the same time, time is a large concern. Judges and litigators alike want cases to be resolved faster. Their clients do too. Their clients don't want to wait 3-4 years for something to go through the entire legal process. No one wants that. So we've got this difficult intersection where data is growing. With data growing, it takes more time to understand it. And time is also being restricted. So where do we find a solution to that? It's in technology. It's leaning in on technology, leaning on AI, leveraging the emerging things that are coming out in this world, the emerging technologies, to help us be more efficient and to drive the time down that it takes to get results and understand the data.
Yeah, agreed. Let me ask you this question. So in talking with Drew Gabler, you know, the conversation it did involve the idea that AI is not new to this space. It's just been called something else. So TAR 2.0, machine learning. It seems like it is the catchy new thing, but because for the first time, it's been accepted or absorbed into the mainstream a bit more, one might think that lawyers are now perhaps more willing to use not Gen AI, but these older systems and technologies on their cases. So are you finding that? Are you finding an increase of acceptance or willingness to use technologies that are actually years old as compared to perhaps the way it was a couple of years ago and the use of these technologies?
Yeah, I truly think so. I think there's an increase in willingness to use technologies that, not that are old, right, but that we've been talking about for a little while. And like you said, there are different iterations of that. There's TAR 1.0, there's TAR 2.0. We've had improvements to the process and developments along the way, but there is an increased willingness and a trust in the use of TAR, the use of machine learning. And personally, my hypothesis is that I think it's becoming less of a scary black box. The understanding is starting to be become more present. Lawyers are now understanding what TAR looks like, what it means to do a TAR review. It's not scary. It's not a mystery. And with the emergence of something like generative AI, it's no longer the big scary question mark in the room. And we've got something else that we're learning about, and that makes us feel more comfortable with something that's already there.
Yeah. Do you think it's an understanding of the black box, or just a willingness to accept the black box?
I think it's both. I think they go together. I truly do, and I think that because this is a technology that's been around for a little while. We've got consultants, we've got experts in the industry that not only are getting a better understanding of what it is and how it works, but being better at communicating it. And the more people we can communicate it to, the more understanding there is, and the more understanding there is, the more comfort there is. So I think it's a cycle.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to a different topic. Let's move on to addressing the evolving landscape of data privacy and security, particularly with respect to the implications for e-discovery. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think in the data privacy, data security world, first thing that comes to mind to me is data breaches. How do we respond to those? How do we respond to data that is intended to be private, whether it be HIPAA or PII data, and the security of that when there has been a breach or there's been an issue with it and some kind of leak? And I think that AI goes hand in hand with how we make that process more efficient, just in the same way that leveraging AI, leveraging machine learning can help to reduce the amount of time that it takes to review documents. We can reduce the amount of human input needed to get down to our set of potential PII or leaked information or HIPAA information that we need to look further at. We can use machine learning and algorithms to weed out the bad information. And we can use AI algorithms and emerging technologies and conceptual AI algorithms to understand where the PII lives and extract those PII elements.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. So how about you now close us out with your predictions? No, not on the Super Bowl, because no, it's not going to be the Green Bay Packers, but no. Your predictions on emerging technologies, methodologies, and or, so it's dealer's choice, or actually I should say it's podcast guest choice. Predictions on emerging technologies, methodologies, and or best practices in terms of shaping the future of e-discovery.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think, it's a famous JFK quote, rising tides lift all boats. I think the more that society is leaning in on AI, the more that the industry is leaning in on generative AI and learning more about it, it's going to rise to the top all of the other forms of AI as well. Whether it's entity extraction algorithms, whether it's PII identification algorithms and language models, whether it's machine learning algorithms. But this emerging understanding of AI as a whole is going to lift the entire industry. And my prediction is that we're going to become more reliant on it in every large case.
I can't wait until our future podcast when we talk just about that and see how good and close you were with that prediction. But I don't disagree with you. So, I want to thank Drew for joining us today, as well as our regular subscribers and those that may be first-time listeners. If you'd like to learn more about IDS or subscribe to our IDS Talks podcast, you can visit idsinc.com or wherever you normally get your podcasts from. Thank you again for joining us, and I look forward to talking more about data with you in our next edition of IDS Talks.